Welcome to Share Talk. Today I have the pleasure of speaking with John Peters, who is the Managing Director at Strategic Minerals PLC. How are you today, John?
I'm well, Stephen, and yourself?
Not too bad. Whereabouts in the world are you today?
I operate out of Sydney, and I've got to tell you that we're having quite a heat wave here at the moment, where temperatures are averaging around 35 degrees Celsius. So. Wow. Might be a bit of a contrast to where you are at the moment.
Well, thankfully I'm in sunny Cornwall. My car temperature gauge this morning read 12 degrees, whilst the rest of the country is only at a few degrees. So I'm sitting nicely.
Well done.
Anyway, we're not here to talk about the weather. We're here to talk about your company and, more importantly, what is happening with it. And I would like to touch on today's sort of RNS release to start us off, which is in relation to your Cobra Magnetite mine update. Would you like to let us know how that's going along?
Yeah, look, today we issued an RNS mainly just to let the market know, because it is a price sensitive item, that the access to the stockpiles has been extended. It's on an annual roll, and it's been running this way for now about 3 to 5 years, 3 years or so. And the owners of the mine basically just have that, so they've got flexibility in case it affects the rest of what they do, which is basically a copper mine. But we're currently a fairly long way down in discussions with them. I'm very hopeful. I'd hope that we'd actually have this finished before the end of last year. But I believe we're pretty close to getting some sort of agreement on a longer term access. And when I say longer term, I'm talking 3 to 5 years, et cetera. And that's more about the fact that if we've got that, then we can afford to start to make plans, particularly about any capital expenditure that might have to do with, say, increasing the density of the material so that it can be for coal washeries and things like that, which have much higher margins. But all of that are really capital investment decisions, and you can't make those decisions on a one-year horizon. So, you know, and also the other side of that is also investing possibly in trying to expand the delivery area that we can get the material to bring on more clients, etc. I mean, the last year we brought on a major one, and it's had a fairly large and very positive impact on our profitability.
So at the moment, obviously that contract is subject to annual extensions, and you're looking to basically change that contract and that agreement for obviously the long-term prospectivity of bringing the mine on to some sort of production.
Yeah, it's not a mine itself, it's actually a magnetite stockpile. So it's the offtake from a copper mine that's been treated before. So there's less of the mining risk type thing. It's actually, in many ways, it's more of a logistics exercise than an actual mining.
Okay, so in relation to getting that product, What is the processes of that, and how do you hope to take that forward if, obviously, you get the updated contracts in place?
Yeah, look, the updated contracts are more about just securing longer term tenure, and also about making sure that we can then, as I said, invest into a little bit more. But at the moment, we possibly invest into making some of it for high dense media for the coal, as I said, coal washeries, etc. You know, the difference is, you know, we might be selling this for about $60 US at mine gate, whereas the stuff for coal washeries is like $250. Right, you don't sell as much volume, but there's some quite no margin. So you'd probably look at a bit of both sort of thing. As far as the actual process is concerned, as we said, the material has been the treated offtake from a copper mine. So it's been treated, it's been stored in a dam. Our people mainly go in and actually use the old, use a bucket and load them onto a truck, and off it goes. Previously, we'd had a rail access, but that actually was part of our dispute before. It kept on breaking down, and so now almost everything's done by truck, but there is some talk about possibly creating a siding soon a bit lower down in the valley for some rail access. So it's really just a dig and load type arrangement, but there's still management of this. It's a dam itself. You've got to manage the structure of it. You've got to treat the stuff. You've got to have sifting. So there's a fair bit of operation to it, but it's just not going underground and mining something out or open cut and mining something.
Okay. You obviously touched on the railway, and that brings us on to our next sort of subject, if you like. When we last spoke, it was in reference to the Redmore Ting Tungsten project based in Cornwall in the UK.
In your backyard.
Obviously, you were sat there awaiting payments from the railway company, and obviously you did a fundraise to be able to buy the proportion that you were looking towards, and that's obviously brought your involvement up to the 50% mark. Would you like to sort of clarify what's happened in the past, what you've done with that money, and how things are going to go forward?
Certainly. What, as you said, look, we got into this at the start. We put down a little bit of money. We raised, in between the time, we virtually had an option to take up the remainder. And the key thing about this is the money that we put in is not going back to anyone else. It's actually all going into drilling and improving the asset. But what happened was we put some initial money down. We basically then, after we did that, soon after that, we actually went out and negotiated a settlement to our rail dispute, and we wanted to use those funds rather than dilute shareholders further to acquire this. We felt we wanted this, but the dispute required most of the payment to be paid in January of this year, 2017. So we've been a little bit on tender hooks waiting for the payment to arrive, and it did. In the interim, it wasn't going to be enough to make the full amount of the 50%. We needed some more top-up. So in October, we went out to the market to get that. And at the time, I think we needed about – we worked out on a skinny side that we needed about £400,000. We went out for that to the market at 0.4, and we actually got offered £1.7 million. We didn't want, we felt that the stock was undervalued at the time, which I think has proven to be the case. We thought, well, look, we'll take only 600,000 off the table just to give ourselves a bit of a buffer. And thank goodness the money from the rail did come in when it was supposed to. So now we have enough money to go forward, plus a good buffer in the bank through that area. And that buffer's probably protected a bit by the fact that because sales in Cobra have gone up so much, we're now no longer in a cash burn situation at all. In fact, we are actually adding to our reserves as we go.
So in relation, obviously, when you have a look at the sort of full financial picture, based against where you are, cash in the bank, as has been reported obviously on your update for the quarter. Where do you perceive money being spent, and how is that going to be utilised to generate the project?
Okay, yeah, look, what the way money's being spent at the moment, most of that money that we've taken from the rail and the raising is going into the Redmore project at Cornwall, and that will involve a number of drill holes. And the idea about that is to take our high grade resource up to a much larger level, so that we then provide or undertake a mine plan to try and access it going forward. Apart from that, we also have money in our budgets at the moment to continue doing some more drilling in our West Australian tenements, both for the nickel sulphide and possibly platinum and palladium at Hans Camp, and also for the some rare earths and gold exploration at Mount Weld.
Yeah, obviously.
So all that's in our budgets.
Camp as well, you've got iridium, osmium, rhodium and ruthenium.
We've got the full box and dice, yeah.
Yeah, again, but yeah, you know, that's the other project that I would like to obviously touch on. So obviously in relation to the Cornwall project, what sort of time scales have you got on Redmore?
Look, I've been telling the market that we'll be starting drilling this year. Obviously, in giving the money to the or providing the money for the option, that means the money's in the bank. We, as you know, we put on a community liaison person who's done an excellent job and has been securing our access for drilling. We put on an exploration manager, and that might give you an indication that we feel we're pretty close to being able to sign a drilling contract. When that gets signed, we'll start fairly soon after that. So, you know, we could squeeze it in earlier than well, let me put it this way. It might not be that far off from where it is, but I don't want to give an exact time because basically, you know, there's contracts to be signed and there's arrangements to be done. But given that, it's likely that most of the drilling program will be completed during 2017. And that also means that along the way, there'll be market updates relating to what we're finding in the drill holes, etc. Because it won't be, we'll wait to the end and then tell it. It'll be, there'll be discrete intervals under which things are being tested. So really, Redmore, the drilling program itself and the results from it is a 2017 exercise.
Definitely. Now, you obviously mentioned there the appointment of Brett Grist, who is obviously the appointment of the exploration manager. Is he specifically for the Redmore project?
That's correct.
How does he fit forward, obviously, with that project? Is he the go-to man, or is he just there to implement everything?
Look, right at the moment, he's there for the drilling program itself. Where we go to after that, I can't tell. But he's, as I said, we're actually lucky in that the community liaison manager had to do with has been involved with a lot of it itself. So he's providing support to Brett, but Brett's got a great experience in this area, and he's going to have under him another couple of operators as well. So he'll manage the drilling program itself in conjunction with the drilling company that we appoint, and that will see us through to the end of the year. Now, in all likelihood, providing everything's right, then will be more work to do, but at the moment, until that happens, we stay very lean as a company. We bring the resources when we need them, and then we go from there.
What I will touch upon for followers of Strategic Minerals is that Brett is actually a geologist. He's got over 18 years worth of work, and he lives just up the road from me in Devon. Yeah, that's it. And I know his background.
Well, I must admit that was an influence. The very fact that we said this before. I mean, there was Brett, and there was another good candidate. But one of the things that really encouraged us to also pick Brett, despite his, you know, he's got great experience, so that's not a problem. But so did the other candidate. But the thing is, Brett is to a degree a local, and it really is. And the other candidate wasn't English, okay? And to me, it's important that when you work in a place, when you're doing work in a place like this, or any place really, if you have a viable local alternative, you really should go with it.
And I agree. Obviously, you touched on the fact that he's local. Anywhere in Devon and Cornwall is local. You know, a trip to the corner shop can take me an hour. So, it's definitely local. Obviously, the Redmore asset is literally borderlining the River Tamar, which marks the border, and it's literally only a few miles inside Cornwall. So you're probably better off living in Devon anyway. obviously, in relation to the forward sort of thinking and the strategy around the drilling program, Mm-hmm. Is it a case of you want to define the resource? Is it a case of you want to get sort of further grades? You know, where is the project along the line?
If you have a look, there's on our website, there's a presentation we made recently to the House of Commons, to some of the parliamentarians, about the particular project itself. You know, just trying to give them a update as to what we're doing in the area.
Yes.
Now, that actually highlights what we're trying to do with the area, and I'm just pulling it up myself. But basically, we're saying that we're trying under this program not only to confirm what's here, but also to, if we undertake the full program, we're hopeful to get 2 to 3 times the size of the high-grade inferred resource. Currently there's 2.3 million tonne at 1.1%. So 1.19%. So, you know, what we're really saying is, look, we know the resource is there. We want to clarify it more. We want to clarify that the high grade's there so that we can target a mining plan that would, one, be underground, because we can't, you know, it's, the area is too close to a resident, not to residential, but the it would affect the countryside too much to be an open cut. But on top of that, it's no good then just going, you know, for long distances into not very high-grade material. So you really want to be following a dedicated mine plan that went up the high-grade seams.
Yes, definitely. Obviously, in relation to the planning and the project, I know you've been out into the communities, and the communities very much well received the plans and the project sort of presentations on the ground at Kelly Bray, which is where Redmore's located. Obviously, you touched on sort of presenting to the sort of local parliamentary people. Was that well received by them?
Yeah, it was. Unfortunately, not as many of them showed up as we would hope. but it was ourselves. I mean, Wolf Minerals were there. There were a few people associated with it. The other thing I meant to say also, our community liaison person, Jeff Harrison, he also did that same job for Wolf Minerals in the Drakelands mine. So he knows the process quite well. So we've actually got a good, strong team. But, yeah, look, more particular, rather than the House of Commons people, he's been meeting with the local council and local reps and is holding a number of those sort of meetings. And we've had pretty good feedback. I mean, most people are quite positive about it because, as you know, there's that very strong there's that very proud element of Cornwall mining. So, most people just want to know that we're not going to do it silly, we're not going to be looking to do something that's going to importantly devalue their properties and things like that. And, you know, we're doing this in a very professional, appropriate manner. So, you know, it's actually, I think they've been quite relieved when we've had the meetings.
Yes, definitely, definitely. So what are the next sort of hopes and expectations, and what is the sort of subsequent news flow that you're expecting?
Yeah, look, the sort of news flow I'm expecting is the obvious news flows, which has to do with if we secure the longer term on Cobra, there's the beginning of the drilling, when there's some of the results as they come through. Mount Weld, and also the results from the previous drilling towards the end of February, there's probably going to be something about, because we've had some of that being re-assayed. We did get a bit of a slip over Christmas period, but we're back onto that a bit more, and I'm actually trying to follow that program a bit more closely and push it along. But with these ones, you know, a lot of it, you've got to work with a partner, so sometimes the pace at which you do things isn't always in your control. There's that. There's increases that we're trying to do with, as I said, with even sales with Cobra. I want to try and look at, as a lot of that's a distribution system, it might be easier if something we can tack on with it, etc. We are, of course, always looking for opportunities. What I try to do is, I mentioned before again, we don't have a burn rate. We've actually got a slight positive accretion. We're going to have our first, profit because of the rail settlement for 2016, and we're targeting to have a profit for 2017. And what that means, of course, is that if I do want to do anything else, if we do find another project, or if we do want to look at some sort of company involvement with another company, that normally then would involve securing the transaction and then bringing in additional funding. But we only really want to bring in any further dilution where there's an accretive value to the overall value of the company.
That's it. And obviously that's the way forward for Strategic Minerals. So is there anything further you would like to add there?
No, look, I just think I would like to say, look, for all the people who have bought our shares recently, they've done quite well. We did our issue in October at 40, it's now at 60. And I believe as a relative valuation thing, we've got a joint venture with on the Redmore project with a company listed on the ASX. My view from that is that we're still undervalued from that. It's difficult because there's no real research reports on ourselves at the moment. And, something should come in time. We did put on SP Angel as our nomad, but we're definitely not in any sort of, they probably were going to do a report on us. They had to visit the site as part of sign on for nomad. But when they do it or what they will decide is something that we're not involved in at all. So, but we would be hopeful that when that occurs, it will probably gel the market towards a particular price range for our stock. And as I said, my view on our relative price compared to, say, NAV is listed on the ASX indicates that we're still undervalued, and there's still some good value in buying the stock.
Definitely. Obviously, a lot of ASX-based companies normally trade at a premium to exactly the same company based on the AIM market, and there are sort of quite a lot of discrepancies in relation to that sort of scope. So fingers crossed that obviously any news flow will get the share price where you believe it should be.
Yes, I like that thought.
Right, John, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much for your time today.
As always, wonderful to talk to you, Stephen. Thank you.
Thank you, John.